As I was flying back from Portland, Oregon, a week ago on Sunday, I saw an advertisement in the In-Flight magazine for a magician who has nothing up his sleeve but a 100-ton train, tigers, leopards, a levitating Lamborghini, and a 26-foot helicopter. It seems that making a rabbit appear and disappear in a hat is no longer worthy of mention. This bigger is better mentality is something that also affects congregations. While there is nothing wrong per se with bigger and better choirs, bigger and better living Christmas trees, or bigger and better sanctuaries, these bigger and better things are often done to the detriment of the real purpose of the Christian church. Our Lord certainly didn't lose track of the foundational purpose for which he had come to earth. When a paralytic was brought to him, Jesus said to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven." Our Lord knew precisely what was the most important thing for this man, to forgive him his sins. No one dare think either that our Lord was not capable of doing those bigger and better things. In the few verses following our brief reading from Matthew today, Jesus tells the paralytic to take up his bed and to go home, at which the paralytic did exactly that. That certainly caught the attention of the people. In healing the paralytic of his physical ailment, however, our Lord certainly did not contradict the most basic necessity of the man, the need to have his sins forgiven. The first words out of Jesus' mouth, the real purpose of Jesus' life and death, meeting the basic need of this paralytic, were these words, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." Pastors and congregations that continue to be faithful to the life and teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to do exactly as he did, to forgive sins. This continues to be the central point, the central purpose of coming together as God's people in the divine service. Pastors faithful to our Lord continue to tell sinners, and that's all of us, the basic facts of life. Your sins have separated you from God. Because of those sins, you deserve eternal separation from God in hell, eternal punishment for those wrongdoings. Pastors faithful to our Lord continue to tell these same sinners to rejoice. Jesus Christ has died for all your sins, taking the punishment meant for you upon himself. Jesus has suffered eternal separation from God so that you don't have to. And pastors faithful to our Lord continue to tell those same redeemed sinners, through faith, this salvation is yours. Through faith, God credits you with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Believe it, for the salvation is for you. That simple message of law and gospel continues to be the central point of all our interaction in the congregation of Jesus Christ, whether in general confession and absolution, whether in the readings, whether in the sermon, or whether in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ distributed in Holy Communion, the message is the same. Your sins are forgiven. In Jesus' day, the scribes responded to Jesus' statement, "Your sins are forgiven," by saying, "This man is blaspheming." In our day, the response to "Your sins are forgiven" would probably be more like, "So what?" One might argue, for argument's sake, that the first response is better. At least it takes the forgiveness as a reality, which the response, "So what?" may not. But both responses refuse to see the forgiveness of sins as the most important thing that God must do for sinful human beings. Without the forgiveness of sins, any command to take up your bed and go home is ultimately without purpose, for it fails to meet the most basic need of every sinful human being. Flashy, brilliant, awesome spectacles might catch people's attention, but they are ultimately meaningless if the fundamental purpose of the church is lost, the need to forgive sins. So, faithful pastors of the Word continue to follow our Lord Jesus Christ in making the forgiveness of sins the centrality of the gospel proclamation. Even when hearers of Christian preachers imagine that the declaration of the forgiveness of sins is too simple, not fancy enough, or not flashy enough, faithful pastors continue forgiving sins because our Lord has called us to do so. And it is precisely through that word of forgiveness that our Lord has promised to work. It may not seem flashy, it may hardly seem worth reporting, but forgiving sins is far more meaningful than making a 100-ton train disappear. For sins separate us from God, but forgiven sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Forgiving sins removes completely the load of sin and guilt that can be such an awful burden. No wonder our Lord said, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.